scripture passages that contain healing stories, like our lesson for this morning, are ones that are difficult to understand and for us modern day people to accept at face value. It's because healing and faith is still a somewhat mysterious area to all of us. Faith healing has been subjected to so many abuses over the years that we might tend to discount the role of faith in healing. Nevertheless, healing was an important part of the ministry of Jesus. And it could be an important and meaningful part of the ministry of the church today. I have no doubt at all that God heals people in a variety of ways. And that if we come to God in faith, God will continue His healing work in us. Now, this scripture passage from Mark is significant because it's the last miracle of healing that Jesus does before He enters Jerusalem in the last week of His life. At this point, Jesus is only about 20 miles away from Jerusalem. And on the outskirts of Jericho, there's a man sitting beside the road, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Now he hears that Jesus is coming by and he begins to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, the crowd around Jesus, including his disciples, try to hush Bartimaeus. But he cries out even more loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But you know, to call Jesus the Son of David is a title for the Messiah. It's a title for the Christ. Well, Jesus hears Bartimaeus over the noise of the crowd and he calls for him. Suddenly the attitude of all these bystanders changes. And they tell this blind beggar to get up because Jesus wants to see him. Well, he leaps to his feet and he throws off his cloak and he scrambles over to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, you might think, "Duh, what do you think a blind man wants me to do?" But just before this text, Jesus had asked that very same question to two of his disciples, James and John. "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, they replied that they wanted to sit on his right hand and on his left hand when they entered into his glory. Skybox seats in heaven. But Jesus rebuked their pride, asking if they were ready to suffer what he was about to suffer. They said they were, but they weren't. The same question posed to Bartimaeus gets a very different answer. "Teacher, let me see again." Now the contrast between the pride of the disciples and the humility of the blind beggar is remarkable. Jesus' reply to Bartimaeus is a lot more gracious than his reply to James and John. He says to him, "Go. Your faith has healed you." Without even touching him, Jesus heals him. His sight is restored and Bartimaeus joins the crowd following Jesus on to Jerusalem. In this last healing miracle of Jesus, we see clearly one of his passions. He had a passion for making people well. He healed people with physical problems like blindness. He healed people with mental problems like demon possession. He healed people with spiritual problems like pride. Jesus came to bring wholeness to life for everyone who believes in Him. That wholeness is our salvation, body, mind, and spirit. The same word in the New Testament is given all three meanings, healing and wholeness and salvation. That was the passion of Jesus. That's why he endured the passion of the cross. Dr. David Stewart, a physician, wrote in a Presbyterian magazine a number of years ago about his battle with cancer. It proved to be a faith-enhancing experience for him. He wrote this. He said, "I can say God meets every need, and there's no need for him to answer every question. As for being healed, I have been healed, even if I am to die from this cancer. I know I am healed in the most profound sense of that term. What happens now is all up to God. He may choose to heal it here or there. In the meantime, life has never been so precious. In the past year and a half, I've seen brighter lights and heard more exuberant music, felt more love, both human and divine. I have never laughed harder or cried so often. Despite the times of genuine agony that no medicine could touch, these months have been wonderful." 6 months later, the body of Dr. David Stewart expired. But he died healed. He died a whole man. Now, my question is, what's necessary for this kind of healing to happen? Well, basically, it's two things. It takes the power of God and the presence of faith. Well, the power of God is always present. Faith is what we bring to the table. To trust in Jesus' teachings that God will be true to his promises. And faith takes persistence in prayer and in the walk of faith. Sometimes it takes a while to heal. The important thing is to stay in the partnership. God wants to partner with us. God showed this so clearly with his life. God's grace and power, our faith and trust, working together to make us whole people again. Together we can make beautiful music. There's a story about Wynton Marsalis, who you probably know is one of the most easily recognizable jazz musicians in our day, and one of the premier jazz trumpeters of all time. One night, Marsalis was playing with a small, little-known combo in a New York basement club. Well, a few songs into their set, he walked to the front of the bandstand, and he began an unaccompanied solo of an old 1930s ballad. The audience really became captivated as Marsalis' trumpet virtually wept in despair, almost gasping at times with the pain of the music. Stretching that mood taut, Marsalis came to this final phrase with each note coming slower and slower, with longer and longer pauses between each one. And then someone's cell phone went off. It began to chirp an absurd little tune. The audience broke up in a kind of nervous laughter and groan. The man with the phone jumped up and fled into the hallway embarrassed, and the spell was broken. But then Marsalis did an amazing thing. He played that cell phone melody note for note on his trumpet. And then he played it again with different accents. And he began to play with the melody, spinning out a wonderful improvisation on that silly little tune. And the audience settled down, slowly realizing that they were hearing something altogether extraordinary. Around and around Marcellus played for several minutes, weaving glory out of this goofiness. Finally, in a master stroke, he wound down seamlessly to the last two notes of his previous old ballad. Just enough for everyone to recognize what he was doing. And he ended, and there was such silence that no one wanted to break it. And then they exploded with applause. In the same way, our brilliant, adaptable God is at work throughout this sin-sick world, bringing beauty out of ugliness and courage out of pain, love out of loss, even sacrifice from salvation. That's the power of our partnership. God heals us, and then God calls us to follow. Healing frees us to follow God. When Jesus healed Bartimaeus, the gospel says he followed Jesus along the road. Now that isn't an accidental choice of words. Bartimaeus not only became a sighted person that day, he became a disciple of Jesus. He left that roadside in Jericho to go with Jesus on his way. In fact, the healing is almost incidental to this story. The focus is on Bartimaeus seeking, calling out for Jesus, and then his response to the question, and then his action following the healing. In a very real sense, it's more of a call story than a miracle story. The point isn't about the healing, it's about the following. Healing, you see, frees us to follow. So the question I have for you this morning is, what do you want God to do for you? Do you need healing of body from a disease or an affliction? Do you need to find wholeness in your mind to overcome anxiety or worry or emotional pain? Do you need healing of your spirit to get into a right relationship with God and be transformed from the inside out? In a sense, those sound like selfish questions. What do you want Jesus to do for you? It was for James and for John. But the amazing grace of God, the question still gets asked, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you need most in your life today? We come before God with many needs and many hurts, many wounds, many illnesses and anxiety. But no matter what, God is with you wherever you are. And ask you the question, what do you want me to do for you? How will we respond? How will we pray?